fifth and final week of the Shape of You series. If you've been with us for the last month, we've been talking about how you are designed for service. And we talked about the shape of all different kinds of things, the shape of leadership, the shape of the body of Christ, the shape of here at CCW, this local community. And last week, we talked about the shape of you, how you are designed for service. And we talked about kind of the motivation behind service, why service inside the church exists. And service exists. That cat is really interested in what's going on in here. Okay. So service exists in the church because God has brought all of us together, and we're so diverse, we're so different. He takes all that diversity, and through love and multiplied by His Spirit, we're able to grow His community here at CCW and in this world, and it brings about unity. And we talked about three things that you can do to begin serving right now. The first thing is you can take on the attitude of Jesus Christ, and as a result, you're going to start doing the actions of Jesus Christ. We talked about how you can begin down the road of self-discovery, because the more you know about yourself, the better you're able to understand how God has designed you to serve. So we talked about discovering your shape, your spiritual gifts, heart ability, personality, and experiences. If you are interested in finding out more about your shape, we actually have those forms out at the Next Step Station and guides you through discovering your shape and how it can be used in serving inside of Christ's community. The third thing we touched on was celebrating our differences, because we are so different. We're so different. And the more we appreciate the differences that are around us, the diversity that God has placed in His church, the more we're going to grow in love and unity with one another. So as I said last week, this week, we're going to celebrate the differences. We're going to celebrate the diversity that God has created here at CCW. And I also mentioned that I believe that a story is worth a thousand sermons, so I'm actually going to put my money where my mouth is today. And today, I'm going to invite some of my friends up on the stage to share their stories of how God has shaped them to serve, and how, as they've served, they've changed, they've grown, they've transformed, and they've seen people around them transform as well. So before we do that, before I invite our first storyteller up here, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get started. Father, I thank you for your love, I thank you for your grace, and I thank you for investing so much in us. Thank you for your Spirit who's inside of us, who's transforming us and giving us the ability to serve you in meaningful ways. I thank you for the people that are going to be sharing their stories today. I ask that you empower them to speak confidently, and I ask that your Spirit works in the hearts of those who are listening, that they may too be inspired to share their story and go on to serve your kingdom in great ways. We love you, Father, and thank you for this opportunity today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So let me call on up to the stage my first friend, Miss Cindy, and she's going to share with you how sometimes service, it can start with just a simple hug.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Cindy Bestman, and I have a reputation. Let me explain. I was born into a family of very affectionate people, and we hugged and we kissed at every family function. We hugged hello, we hugged goodbye, and we liked to eat. When I got married, I married into an Italian family that was also very affectionate in that respect. They fought all the time, but always hugs and kisses at the doors. And since Frank had six siblings, we ate a lot too. Hugs and hospitality define my shape. I have been blessed to serve in multiple ministries here at CCW, but as many of you know, I tend to meet you for the first time, to say to you, as you put your hand out to me to shake mine, I'm so sorry, I say I don't do that. And then usually, with permission, I give you a great big hug, a hug that you know that I mean it. Welcome. I am so glad that you're here. I tell you that I may not, and I probably won't remember your name because my brain is shot, but my arms still work. This has been such a blessing to me over the past several years. I serve on Wednesday nights, welcoming people who come for dinner. I still can't remember their names and always tell them not to worry about mine. Just ask for Red. But what I usually hear is, oh, here comes the hugger, and with a great big smile on their faces. This has allowed me to sit and listen when they need someone to talk to after a hard day or a really hard season. I've met a woman who had just become a widow, and since I too am a widow, I could relate and let them know that Jesus is there for them, as well as care groups like Grief Share or the Widow's Ministry. I've been allowed to pray right with them in line for dinner when the season needed it, and I have made many new friends. Now that I've moved to High Point, where so many of our Wednesday night people live, God has provided me with a ministry field. So many people, men and women alike, tell me where to go to meet people, where to have dinner, and things to get involved in. They tell me where they live in relationship to my new home. I want to invite them to mine to come to Bible study as our relationship grows. Using my shape of spiritual gifts of hospitality, service, my experience of loving on people that I may not know well, and my heart, which is naturally wanting to be loved and cared for, I can express these in serving others as a greeter on Sunday morning or Wednesday night or anywhere else. How cool it is to meet someone in the parking lot of Publix on 19 who says, "Oh, I know you, you're the hugger." It makes me smile, and I know it helps some people more than myself. Some people don't get hugged from Wednesday to Wednesday. I cannot imagine life without feeling loved by someone, even if that someone is me, that crazy redhead that greets them on Wednesday night. Thank you.
Our next storyteller, Joel, he's going to share with you how no matter what your experience in life is, no matter where you've come from, God has a place for you in the body of Christ and a place for you to serve.
Well, it's already gone better in first service, so that's good. Good morning. My name is Joel Cupp, but that doesn't matter. As Casting Crowns says so well in the song, "Only Jesus," I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus. Jesus is the only name to remember. Serving is never to be about us. It's all about God, glorifying Him and helping others to move one step closer to Him. At Christian Church in the Wildwood, we're seeking to become fully developed Christ followers. As Jesus Himself said in Mark 10:45, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." And pay attention to this carefully. As Paul said in Ephesians 2:10, we are His masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Both passages show that to be fully developed Christ followers, we're to serve as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did. When I first came to CCW, I talked to Pastor Dave and shared my story. Pastor Dave told me, "Our church is full of broken people. We're all about grace. I want you to get involved." From that point on, every time Pastor Dave talked to me, he asked me, "Are you getting involved?" Pastor Dave's life was an example of service that God used to change my life. Serving has changed me. When I first came to CCW, I was selfish, arrogant, and a user of people. I didn't serve God, but I served myself and my desires above all else. God has humbled me and led me to focus on Him first above anything else. Then my emphasis is on helping others. Finally, meeting my own needs comes last. Serving isn't about me. I never want the spotlight to be on me, but it has to be, so sorry. And I apologize, the glare off my head, you might need sunglasses. I've been told that before. When people thank me for serving, I say that I'm blessed to be able to serve, and I truly believe that. I'm just happy to glorify God and bless others through any simple acts of service God allows me to be a part of. At CCW, we have so many needs and areas to serve. I encourage everyone to seek God and ask questions on how they can get involved. Oscar time. I'm so thankful to all those who have encouraged me at CCW and allowed me to serve, especially Pastor Dave, Roger May, Tim Hayworth, Ron's Carpenter and Wood, Glenn Gnadek, Wally Parker, and all the staff elders and ministers here at CCW. I thank Patrick Haas for baptizing me into a relationship with Jesus Christ. As you can see, CCW is truly a family. I consider you my brothers and sisters. Serving takes part in a community. It never takes part by yourself. I am so blessed to be part of the great body of Christ here. Finally, I leave you with one more lyric from another Casting Crowns song entitled Nobody. These words sum up my life's desire as I attempt to completely serve God and others. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see nobody but Jesus. Thank you, and live your life serving as Jesus did.
Our third storyteller is Rich Stripmatter. He's been here. Out of the six people that are going to be on stage, he's actually been here the shortest amount of time. But unbeknownst to a lot of you guys, when you walk in and you see the plants that have been cut, the yard that looks great, Rich is heading up the team out there that's making that happen. And Rich, why don't you tell them just a little bit about your life and how important serving is?
Thank you. Good morning, church. Hey, my name is Rich. I don't know why Josh asked me to do this, but I guess I have a hard time saying no, so I'm here. Anyway, when I was asked to do this, it did take me some time to come up with an answer. Approximately 30 plus years ago, I was going to the Brooksville Christian Church, which was actually a sister church to out here at CCW. And while I was there, that's when I met Ray and Vicki Johnson and their two boys, Nathan and Jeremy. And they were boys then, they're men now, so that tells you how long ago that was. But after a while, I fell away from the church altogether. After going through a divorce, I had a young daughter and a young son. And then my life turned around when I had met such a wonderful woman. And she was kind, considerate, and honest. And she taught me what unconditional love meant. And for that, I'm forever grateful. And truly, my life is a blessing from God. Now, 27 years later, I'm here, where we're here at CCW. And this came about from many conversations with my former coworker and wonderful friend, Jason Alford. Jason and I were UPS drivers together. And last year, I've been retired one full year. And I'm thank God for that, especially this time of year. But he invited us to come and check out the church. And we've been here for about a year now. You know, and at 62 years of age, the reality hit me that you lived more days than you have in front of you. And God has blessed us in so many ways, we knew it was our turn to give back. My wife and I were baptized here. And when I came out of the water after being submerged, my life had a brand new meaning. All the sin and shame of my past life melted away. And I saw God and Jesus in a whole new light. We had joined a small group, and they quickly became part of our family. As time went on, we all had stories to tell. And we were all broken at one point in our previous life. The Lord has worked in so many ways in one short year. I had an individual that was one of my customers as I delivered to him, and he helped me with my hearing aids. I'm telling you, I'm getting old. So he was kind, and he came in on Saturday because he knew of my work schedule, and we invited him to come to church. Now, his wife was living out of the state at the time, and when she was able to come to Florida, they both started to come in church with us. Now, these two are looking to go to the new church in Citrus County. Now, we also had an opportunity to help a young man in our small group who was in need of some help. So we opened our home to him and gave him love and support so he could get right with God and back on his feet. I even had the privilege of baptizing this young man, one of the most emotional things I have ever experienced. How great it was to see another soul come to Jesus. I feel that if you open your mind and open your heart, God has a plan for you. I hear people say, I don't need to go to church to be near God. But to my wife and I, being at CCW, we have the ability to share communion, have fellowship, and to hear God's word from the ministry team. And it amazes me sometimes how these messages are scripted for something we have going on in our own lives. One thing I know, God's love and the Holy Spirit are alive and well at CCW. I look back at some of the series the church has had, the King Jesus series, Friendologies, and others. These powerful messages make you see this world completely different. The things that I thought were important are not so important anymore. The stuff that you thought that made you happy, not so much anymore. None of this you will take with you when you die. I look forward to serving the Lord here at CCW. I don't know if you were here the other week when Dale gave his message about the armor of God, but he related his message using baseball equipment. And one thing that stuck out in my mind, he said, get off the bench and into the game. And I want to be in God's game. Whatever he has planned for my wonderful wife and I, we are there. I want to store up my treasures in heaven. We have the promise of eternal life with our Heavenly Father. I hope this story will inspire you that if God can use you or can use a sinner like me to do his work on this earth, then he can work miracles through anyone who believes. God has given me a second chance to come follow him, and I am eternally grateful. God is good. A good Christian friend of mine who I've known for 32 years has a saying he uses quite frequently. The walk of your walk speaks louder than the talk of your talk. Thank you.
So sometimes we have this tendency to only see what's right in front of us, but there is a world out there that the church is supposed to be impacting. So maybe service doesn't just mean here, which is what our next storyteller, Kayla, is going to share with you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kayla. For those of you who know me, I have a huge heart for missions. So in college, I was able to go on two missions trips to Kolkata, India. And there, when I arrived, I experienced major culture shock. Some of the things that I've seen, I've never seen before. I experienced what true poverty was like. Some of the things that we got to do. For a few weeks, we were able to teach in a schoolhouse in a little village where these people made their living digging through the trash mountain that was beside them. They lived beside this mountain. We also got to walk through the slums and minister to families in their homes alongside a pastor and his wife, actually getting to pray with them there. And during the beginning of this trip, I just felt like, oh, what can I do for people? I can pray with them. I can teach these kids English. It was all about what I could do for them. But that all changed when I visited Prem Don. And so if any of you are familiar with Kolkata, you probably know that Mother Teresa had her ministries in Kolkata. And so one of the homes that she created was Prem Don. And this is a home that's created for the dying and the destitute. So in India, the caste system is still seen. You could see the effects of it. And so you can be in this five-story mall, and you can walk outside and see this maimed child just begging on the streets right next to you at your feet. And so Prem Don is a place for these people. There's thousands and thousands of people living and dying on the streets. And so Mother Teresa created a place where they could, what in her words were, have a beautiful death, where they could die in dignity and have a peaceful death. And so I walk into this giant room, and I stopped in my tracks. And it was just what a lot of people describe as the smell of death. And I just saw rows and rows of women lying in these cots. And the girls that I was with, it was really intense, so they decided to go somewhere. But I felt God was telling me to stay and to serve. And so I had some of the sisters that were working, and it was just a normal day for them. And so it was about time to pass out the medicine for the day. And so one of the sisters gave me the medicine, and they motioned me off to go give these women their medicine and their water. And so I one by one helped them sit up and gave them their water. And then I came to this one woman, and the first thing that hit me was that she had no face, and she was an acid burn victim. And she had no eyes, no hair, no nose. There was skin everywhere where her face should have been. And in that moment, I heard God speak to me and say, Kayla, isn't she beautiful? And in that moment, every selfish thing that I had, it just fell away. And I was able to be in that moment with her, just me and her and God. And she had no idea who I was. And I knelt down next to her, and I grabbed her hand to let her know that somebody was there. And then I showed her that I was going to be giving the medicine to her. And so I gave the medicine to her and helped her get a drink. But because she had no lips, it spilled all over herself. And so I helped her clean her up, and then I laid her back down to rest. And then I just had to breathe in that moment. And so I knew in that moment that God was using me as a vessel, that it didn't matter that I had traveled 9,000 miles to come see her. She didn't know who I was, but I will forever remember her. I might be the only one in the world to ever remember her, but I know that when I think of her and see her face, that I remember that moment of God's immeasurable and unconditional love for us. And so a lot of people think that serving is just for us, or for the people that we serve, that we're supposed to make their lives better. But God does a change in our hearts when we serve as well. We see people differently. We see them through His eyes. And it's not our job to change the world. We can't do that. It's His job. But it's our job to just say yes and just to go. And so if you get the opportunity to go 9,000 miles away, I think everybody should go on a missions trip, because I just feel like you have to experience it. But if you can't, then there's people right in our backyards that need help, that are crying out in desperation for help, and that we can serve them and be the actual hands and feet of God. So I just pray, that you guys would pray that to be challenged to just open up your eyes and to see people the way that He does, and for God to show you those opportunities for you to serve. Thank you.
So it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter if you're 90 or you're 10. God's designed you for service, as Brittany, our next storyteller, is going to tell you.
Hi, I'm Brittany Merrill. I'm 14 years old, and I serve on Sundays in Expedition Kids with the first and second grade girls with one of my best friends. I also serve on Tuesday and Wednesdays in youth group by doing sound, slides, and lights, and concessions. I never really got involved in the serving till about 2 years ago. After Sunday service, my friends kept encouraging me to come to Sunday night youth group, but I didn't really think I would fit in, and I was shy around other people. After talking a lot with my friends, I started coming and sitting to listen to them practice because they were on the youth praise band team. A couple weeks passed, and I remember feeling a calling to serve. So my friend came up to me, and I told her I wanted to serve, and she got the youth pastor, Eli Robinson. And me and Eli talked about ways I could help. Eli was shocked at first because he would refer to me as a hoodie headphones girl, because I always kept to myself and never really wanted to talk to people, or I didn't care to talk to people. After the conversation, I would come every week, and I would try to figure out some way I could help. A huge change in my heart happened towards people, and I really loved serving. If it wasn't for serving, I would definitely not be on stage right now. Serving has opened many doors for me and made many new friendships and memories with people. It has helped me to put others before myself and love people. I love to serve because seeing the joy in someone's face when you help them, or seeing the Holy Spirit move in the room during worship, is a blessing. I'm so happy to be able to serve at an amazing church with amazing people. And if you feel God calling you to serve, listen and get involved because it's changed my life. Thank you.
Thank you, Brittany. So the final couple that are going to come up here are going to tell us about the community around us, because serving here at CCW is great. You can serve on the other side of the world, as Kayla said as well, but right in our own community, there are needs that need to be addressed by the church. So, Ben, Travis, share your story.
Hello, we are the Neppers. Can you hear me? Hello, we are the Neppers. I'm Ben, and this is my wife, Travis. If you know her, she would say she's the only female Travis you'll ever meet. We were invited to give our testimony during the SHAPE series. We are going to talk about what we do to serve our community and church. First, we want to give all the glory to God. The kingdom work we do, God is the only way we could ever do what we do. He deserves all the credit here. A quick rundown of our testimony that we thought would always define us, but God had bigger plans. Travis and I met each other through the ending of our previous unfaithful marriages. The pain that we both had to bear from the unfaithfulness ultimately brought us together. We moved here with no job, no home, and no church, which is a testimony all on its own. We just let God take us where He wanted us to go. There was no doubt He had a plan. So here we are, 2 years later. Travis always had this crazy idea that we should do foster care along with our already six children.
Yes, Ben, along with everyone else, thought I was crazy. But I always had a huge nagging at my heart to help children. So I drug Ben up to Wildwood, Florida every week for 6 weeks to attend classes for training hours to become a foster family. Once we were licensed, the calls just started rolling in. We got a couple calls that ripped our hearts out to say no, but we knew we couldn't meet the needs of those particular children. But then we took our first placement, and the calls just kept coming. And if you know me, I have a real problem saying no to kids. So the stories that come with these kids, they're just, some of them are terrifying. Some of them aren't that bad, but some of them are, most of them are absolutely terrifying. But we knew God wanted us to help them. Long story short, over the last year, since we've gotten our license, we've had 17 foster kids come through our home. Some of them stayed for one night. Some of them stayed for two nights. And some of them stayed for a week, a couple weeks, some for a few months. And then some of them stayed for the entire year. Some of them we're going to adopt. We get to keep forever, so. I didn't tell him to do that.
These children might only be in our life for a moment, but when people ask, how do you let them go? I can always say, if I have one day or an entire year with these children, we are going to show them God's unconditional love. The Bible says so many times to help the orphans and the widows. That's what we believe our direction is for us now. CCW's mission statement stands true in our home as well. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I'll just read it here. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age.
Our point of this testimony is not to encourage you all to become foster families, although that would be amazing if everybody did. But if you feel the need to help, don't let your insecurities keep you from it. Step out in faith. Just as many people right here in our amazing home church have done for us, if you can't foster, then you can definitely help a foster family by offering to babysit. We need breaks. Bring over coffee. Takes a lot of coffee to take care of 17 kids. offer to run an errand, donate diapers. I know at one point we were going through 24 diapers a day. Where was I? Instead of donating to Goodwill, there's foster closets. And there are stores that you can donate your stuff to. And we, as foster families, when we take in new placements, they allow us to come into these foster closets and take what we need for free for these kids so that we can give them what they need. And that's always awesome to have that help. Help a foster family for Christmas. Last year at Christmas, we had the pleasure of having 10 children to bless. Many people in this church and this community made it possible. And if it wouldn't have been for them, those children wouldn't have had the Christmas that they had. So there's so much people can do that is so appreciated by foster families. Anything and everything helps. Your help and donations, and most importantly, your support and prayer are just as important as what we foster families do to help these kids. Thank you for listening to our testimony, and we pray for God's blessings on you all. And thank you for your love and support.
All right, so I hope that as you were listening to these stories, something struck you. And I hope you also understand that this was six stories among hundreds of stories that are here. And even if you feel like you don't have a story yet that you can share, keep loving loud and serving like Jesus Christ, because he will bring that story out of you. And I hope that someday I get to hear your story, whether it's here on stage or in a group or one-on-one, of how God is using you to grow his kingdom and how he's transforming you to be like his son. So remember, we are the church, and whether we're serving here at CCW or in our community or on the other side of the world, we are shaped to do God's work in this world. So go and be the church. Let's worship together one more time, and then you can head out and have an awesome week.